Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, as you've heard, this week marks the 400th anniversary of Henry Hudson's arrival in New York Harbor. And in addition to the list of 400 influential New Yorkers that we discussed last hour, there are fun and educational activities and exhibits all over town for families to enjoy. There's also fun for policymakers going on at the Liberty Science Center today and tomorrow with the H209 Conference, a transnational look at modern urban water challenges in New York and the Netherlands in particular, and a chance for business leaders, urban planners, and environmentalists to learn from each other's experiences. I'm joined now by two of the participants in one of tomorrow's talks on waterfront development for the 21st century, Laurie Hawkinson, an architect with Smith, Miller & Hawkinson, and a professor at Columbia University's Graduate School of Architecture, Planning, and Preservation. And also with us, Bert Hoyer, a professor of applied science at Rotterdam University in the Netherlands. Welcome, both of you, to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you.
And my sense, Professor Hawkinson, is that in New York, waterfronts are now used for recreation, and the challenge is to gain access to what used to be shipping sites. Is that correct?
Yes. And also, I think the question is, not only access, but how could that access, could it be used in other ways? Could we also make proposals for alternative energies or fueling systems that at the same time might remediate existing local ecosystems, and also acknowledge the growth and development need for public space at the same time? So can infrastructure and architecture work together at the waterfront?
Bert Hoyer, is it the same in Rotterdam?
Yeah, it's the same. I think if you want to develop the waterfront and you do it the right way, you have to get multiple functions into it and get people to the waterfront. People doing activities, doing things, and also combine several disciplines to develop the waterfront in a new way.
So, for example, Laurie Hawkinson, I know you worked on Pier 11 in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. What was your challenge there?
Well, in that case, it was actually a very small, it's almost a temporary building it was built, but it was a way that you could connect Lower Manhattan to the larger New York City and the New Jersey coastline. But can we also have space for additional public programs there? The building, in addition, does not have air conditioning. It's open, big airplane garage door opens up. It doesn't need any mechanical ventilation. It kind of ventilates naturally because of its location on the East River. So it's a kind of fantastic way you can do more than one thing at one time in a small place.
Isn't that the same place where the IKEA water taxi leaves from Manhattan to get to Red Hook?
It is. It is.
And Red Hook is trying to combine recreation, residential, and manufacturing, plus cruise ships and shopping, a little bit of everything on a 21st century waterfront.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I guess the challenge, I think, for us to think about in relationship to this conference, perhaps, is can we, in addition to providing entertainment, recreation, as Bert said, could you do more than that? Could you also propose alternative energy systems that could be remediating and performing at the same time that we are recreating or that we are enjoying kind of passive leisure at the waterfront?
Now, listeners, we have time for a few calls, not too many, but do you have a favorite use of New York waterfront? If you've lived here a while, you've undoubtedly noticed the changes. What's the best new thing along the water for you in recent years? Or if you've visited other cities in the United States or abroad that you think have done a good job reimagining their waterfronts, call and shout them out. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We just have a few minutes for this. Call right up. We'll put you right on. 212-433-9692. And while the calls are coming in, Bert Hoyer from Rotterdam, you're working on converting a Rotterdam shipyard into what's described as a regional center for research, design, and manufacturing.
Yeah.
What's happening there, and does New York have anything like that?
Well, we started 4 years ago to to start a new campus on the waterfront side, and that's not the thing you do usually as a university. You put the campus in the middle of the city, but we decided to put it on the waterfront because we wanted to create a free zone for our students to company with innovative companies and students of our technical university. They want to do research and education on sustainable subjects as building, on water, infrastructure and mobility, and also sustainable energy. And we got hold on a very huge shipyard where they built there the ships who went on the Holland American line from Holland to New York, and it is a hall, a very famous hall of 24,000 square meters, and there we put innovative companies and incubators together with our students, and together they work on several things, sustainable mobility, etc. And the boost that plan gave to the next village and to the area, it was enormously, because we had to be sure that the region was connected with the inner city, so we had transportation over water, and Rotterdam is a very difficult city when it goes about crossing the river because of the danger and things like that. So that was a big thing. And now you see that also the people in the town, in the community, they participate in several activities we have. And I think that's a good way to redevelop waterfronts, to do it with activities. Also, you can do it with icons. A lot of cities try to redevelop the waterfront with icons, but you can do it with the activity of the people who live there.
Laurie Hawkinson, a parallel in New York, or is that a particular Rotterdam thing?
I think Rotterdam is probably a bit ahead of New York, but we do have probably great optimistic visions for the city. I mean,
so what can we learn from them? If they're ahead of us, what can you learn?
Well, I think we have to learn, number one, that we're probably going to have to move into the Hudson. Right now, we have a very hands-off and into these water bodies. We have a very hands-off attitude right now, and we're going to have to be a bit more open about how we can actually move into these territories building-wise, but building in very, very sensitive and smart ways that might perhaps we could create oyster beds, places that would also include recreation. Maybe we can use algae that we could grow for biofuels, things like that. That we're going to have right now. There's a very kind of hands-off. You can't touch anything, and it was a very smart thing to do. We needed to do it at the time when it was done, thinking about the West Side Highway and that whole development. But I think we have to now look into the kind of much further ahead in the future and think about how we're going to actually use this water in a productive way.
Michael in Coney Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just came back from Europe. I went to a suburb of Rome. And when I got there, the whole beach was lined with chaise lounges, umbrellas, for people, working class people, to go there, rent a chair, very inexpensive. You go to Coney Island or Reese Park, that's the greatest example I can think of. I've been going to Reese since I'm a little kid. Mm-hmm. All you can get is a hot dog and a knish. You know, there's nothing to accommodate people to come out there.
Laurie Hawkinson, does this speak to you?
Well, I think that, you know, the city is definitely moving in this way. We know that the Hudson River Park has been something that's kind of wildly successful in terms of access to the waterfront. And there's a huge project now on the East River in Brooklyn to create waterfront access. And I think that we've got some innovative planning, but I think that we need to push even harder with it. And I absolutely agree with you that with the caller that there are more than just those kind of prime areas that are located near Manhattan, mm-hmm. Where those spaces should be or could be.
What's wrong with a knish, Michael? Never mind. From our comments page, Nick in Manhattan writes, the Greenway along the Hudson. I've just started biking to work along the Greenway, and it is a fantastic ride. Dykeman to All Points South. Mark on the Lower East Side calling about Buffalo as a positive example of something?
That's right, Brian. Thanks. I went to school at UB. I graduated in 1975. I had a Reading Scholarship at the time, so I actually went straight through college from high school.
That's our last segment. That was the last segment. Talk about this segment.
Yes. Now, when I was in Buffalo, they had the main waterfront was stay away from the waterfront.
Yeah.
My sister moved all the way downtown, and they have just an amazing, eerie marina set up there where you can stock your boats. They have kayaking, catamarans. Right next to that, they have a museum of World War II submarines and cruisers. It's very, very integrated into that whole downtown. They're trying to reclaim Lake Erie. It's right next door to the new HSBC Arena. It seems like it's really much more integrated than it was, say, when you had river, railroad track, highway.
And, Mark, thank you very much. Good story about Buffalo. And we'll sneak one more in here. Syl in Westchester calling about Sydney, Australia as a waterfront model. Hi, Syl.
I must tell you that that was one of the most extraordinary experiences I've seen. We have a little of it on the East River, housing from public up to the most expensive, but also the use of the land and the use of the beach. Water is, they have ships, they have ferries, they have little kayaks, they have yachts, they have motorboats.
In Sydney.
Everybody is free to use the water there,
all
and
right.
It's an extraordinary experience, and I really look forward to New York wanting to do more of that.
Thank you very much. So we're almost out of time, but Baird, it sounds like you want to comment on that. I don't know if you've ever been to Sydney.
I think the most beautiful thing to do is that bring the people to the water, what I said, bring the local people to the water and give them activities to do at the waterfront side, and you can do it on the water also. So I agree that you have to experiment a little bit more with things on the water also, but you have to use the quality of the people which are living next to the waterfront. And the other thing you have to do, I think, that's my experience, don't plan too much. Don't make it so beautiful.
Uh-oh.
Don't make it so furnished. Don't make it so polished. Let some parts be raw and let people experiment and give it a free zone activity, because that then is going to be lively again.
But Laurie Hawkinson, we have 30 seconds left, but that gets your hackles up in New York, I'm guessing, because if you don't plan too much, then the developers are going to take it over and not use it for public purposes.
Well, I think with Bert, I would agree with Bert, because I think what he's referring to is that you want to invite alteration. You want to plan, but you also want to be able to invite alteration. So you're planning in a kind of open-ended way. It's not a fixed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fixed so that all the pieces are in place.
Yes. All right.
And if you can see it, you own it. You know, in Manhattan, it's fantastic. The waterfront's everybody's.
Still figuring out what to do with the waterfront. 400 years to the week since Henry Hudson sailed into New York Harbor. Laurie Hawkinson, architect with Smith, Miller & Hawkinson, professor at Columbia University's Graduate School of Architecture, Planning and Preservation. Bert Hoyer, professor of applied science at Rotterdam University in the Netherlands. Thank you so much for doing this together.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Bye-bye.
And up next, the human guinea pig.